How God's love influences others through us is that you and I need to be focused on the prize. Church family, listen. We get all excited about things, and that's fine. But we need to remember the ultimate goal is that we want to take as many men and women, boys and girls with us to heaven.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. You know, as Christians, we have this desire to live out our faith, to become more intentional in ministry, so that others we share with can have the life-changing experience of salvation through Jesus Christ. That's exactly why the Real Life Network was created. Real Life Network offers faith-based content that will strengthen us and the beliefs we value. As big tech, big government, and big business have increased their efforts to silence the teachings of Jesus, the Real Life Network is available on your favorite device, anytime, anywhere, and really has something for everyone. The whole family can choose from a wide range of categories like culture, current events, faith and politics, as well as programming for kids. So don't miss out on the relevant, life-changing Christian and conservative programming that will inspire you and strengthen your faith. Find the Real Life Network at reallifenetwork.com and sign up for free. That's reallifenetwork.com. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack continues with his series called 1 Corinthians with a message titled, The Power of Your Influence. 1 Corinthians was written by the Apostle Paul to the Church of God in Corinth, and Paul's response of how the power of our influence matters. You see, the picture we paint with our actions has the power to mold and shape other people. But if God's love influences us, well, our witness to the world will be one of love, compassion, and truth. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that Jesus sets us free. But with this freedom, we have a responsibility to love those who are spiritually weak. We are to never do anything that may hold back a young believer's spiritual growth and development. Now, with his message called The Power of Your Influence, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
I just beat that guy up. I just sinned against his conscience. Now, am I going to go eat fish tacos? If that guy doesn't know about it, the answer is yes. You say, well, Jack, what if you're walking in and the guy says, man, you know what? You're my pastor and I think you should only eat fish on Friday and you offend me. You know what I should do right then and there? Listen, church, here's where it gets down to where you and I live. That's where I should say to him because he's right there at the store. I say to him, you know what? That offends you if I go in there? Yes, it does. I think it's wrong. Then I tell you what, not only am I not going to go in there, why don't you and I walk 3 feet over to Corner Bakery and we'll have a salad together. Now watch. You'll say to me, Pastor, why should you put up with that guy's weakness? He needs to grow up. Look, you're expressing what we may be thinking and even feeling. But that comes from emotion and not spiritual sensitivity to that man's situation. That guy, listen, a real true Christian, look, if I'm really a true Christian moving and operating in love, I will not say, hey, grow up, man. God made fish. I eat fish every day. Deal with it. In fact, wait right here. And I grab a taco and eat it right in front of him. That's wrong, man. That's taking my liberty and I'm running him over. This is serious. Because what about drinking? Or what about people who smoke? What about these things? You say, oh my goodness, what about movies? What kind of movies? What about TV programs? There are some things that are completely benign. They're educational. You watch an educational program, maybe you're watching a documentary about nature or whatever. And it doesn't have any morality to it, one way or the other. But what if there's a Christian that you know that's at your house and they say, hey, you know what? I think it's wrong to own a TV. I know there's Christians in this church that say that right now. Oh my gosh, you're kidding me. No, but what do you do about them? Well, you send them to some other church. You send them to the church of no TV. No. You see what happens? All of a sudden, our freedom begins to override our love for them, and we begin to impose upon them something that we're liberated in the sense that, so, in fact, somebody might say, now look, I'm not encouraging this, But I've had somebody say, I told them, I said, you know what? You really, when you come to church, it's obvious you smoke. You smell. I can smell you. Do you smoke? Yes. Oh, you can tell, huh? Yes. But listen, watch out when you talk to people because you might offend some people who are either A, trying to stop smoking, or they think it's flat out wrong. There's some people, so be sensitive about that. And you also need to pray, Galatians 5 verse 1, that God will set you free from that so you're not in bondage. I'm not in bondage to it. I can quit anytime I want to. As soon as I hear that, I know they can't. Be honest. If it offends someone, Paul is going to tell us soon, then you shouldn't do it. Does the Bible say thou shalt not smoke? No. Charles Spurgeon smoked a cigar. The great theologian, the pastor, preacher of preachers. Dwight L. Moody, one of the greatest evangelists the world's ever known, smoked a cigar. I think it's insane. But I got to tell you, it doesn't say anything. You need to be sensitive. If it's going to stumble somebody, don't do it. Well, I have to have my cigar. Okay, number one, you're not free and liberated. You're in bondage to something. And then do it in your own house and pray you don't get cancer. People often say, like, I'm a Christian all my life. I've smoked for 30 years and I can't believe it. The doctor just told me I have cancer. I have about this much compassion. It's like me standing on the freeway. I can't believe I got hit by a truck. Dude, what are you expecting? God didn't do this. Life did this. This is what happens. You had the freedom, but you used your freedom in a way that's hurtful. Or it could be drinking. The Bible says that a person can drink under two circumstances. They can drink. This is a Christian. A Christian can drink, number one, without stumbling his brother or sister. So you got to figure that one out. Number two, you can't get a buzz. If you do, it's a sin. Why? Because you're coming under the influence of something that's taking over the power of God over your life. By the way, I was in a court case. I was on a jury of a physician who was driving home, stopped and got a drink, got drunk, got in his car, and drove through a house and killed a child sleeping in bed. And we found him guilty. He went to life. But the state had a witness, a forensic scientist, and I'll never forget it. The attorney said, what is the first thing that happens when somebody comes under the influence of alcohol? First thing out of his mouth. Their ability to decipher between what is right and wrong and moral inhibitions evaporate. Think of that. That's why the world's got to get drunk to have fun. Christians, we don't have to get drunk to have fun. We just focus on God and have fun. You say, man, I don't get what you're talking about. That's the whole point of this message. You're settling for something so less, and things can often be wrapped up in a religious cloak. I'll justify this by this. I'll justify this by that. Be very careful. Secondly, it's this. God's love influences us in that he has set me free from self-righteousness. He said that food, watch this, verse 8, food does not commend us to God. Dietary laws, it doesn't commend us to God. And eating food or not eating food doesn't commend us to God. We're not any better for it or any worse for it. Didn't God, you say, Jack, I have an issue with you. God told the Jewish people not to eat lobster and not to eat pork, unclean foods. Yes, he did. And he said, you are my people, Israel. You'll be different from all the other people of the earth and you will not eat these things. Did you know that? If you're a Gentile today and if you say, oh, I can't eat pork, that's your weak conscience. And we won't eat pork in front of you. Just know, while we eat our turkey burger, we're thinking pork. We are lovingly putting up with your weakness because number one, listen, if you're a Christian and non-Jewish, then that verse doesn't apply to you. It does not apply to you. Well, what? In fact, in Acts, the book of Acts, Peter, was Peter Jewish? Hello. Peter was in Joppa and he's hungry. He goes on top of the roof and he's waiting for lunch to be done. He falls asleep and he goes into a trance. While he's in a trance, he sees a sheet coming down from heaven. He's hungry, man. And imagine he's laying there, oh, I hope the lunch is, hope they hurry up and get that pita and the falafel and the lamb, because I'm hungry. He's thinking like a good, normal Jew, but now he's a Christian. And the sheet comes down out of heaven, and Peter looks over the sheet, and he looks around, and he sees a lobster go by. And a pig. Oink, 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 oink. A pig goes by. He sees all this unclean stuff go by. Clam, chowder. And the Lord says, Peter, rise up, kill and eat. And Peter tells God, excuse me, I'm a kosher boy. Nothing unclean's ever touched these lips. Very self-righteous about it. And that's great in keeping the law, but the law can't save you. And God says to Peter, don't call anything I've made unclean. Peter, you're offending me. What? And Peter, from that moment on, got up and ate. What? Whatever was set in front of him. But what if it was a pork chop? He thanked God for it. What if it had been offered to an idol? He thanked God for it. How can you do that? Because listen, Paul, Peter, James, and John would say, I've been set free. I'm no longer dictated by self-righteousness. I'm dictated by his righteousness. And so what I do now in my life, I live to the glory of God. Okay, it's very important. It's very liberating. Third and final point, it will go very, very quick. Verses 9 to 13, he's saying this, that God's love influences others through us, the power of influence. We must be, church, verses 9 to 10, we must be responsible with this power. You cannot leave the building today and take your liberty, verse 9, and use it as a stumbling block to people. If someone says, I'm a Christian, and watch this, look, I'm a Christian, and I'm going to smoke and drink, and I'm going to cuss, and God will forgive me, and does that offend you, weak Christian? I've got the liberty. That person is a liar, the Bible says, and the truth is not in them. Very important you understand that. Anybody who leaves this building today and says, I can do anything I want, I have the liberty in Christ. St. Augustine said, in Christ, I can choose to do anything I want. How does that sit with you? Think of that. That's half the statement. He says, in Christ, I can choose to do anything I want to do. Next statement, he says, but I choose to live for Christ. Big difference, huh?
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
And that's the challenge to us today. Are we going to live for Christ and for his love? Or are we going to take what we say is Christian liberty and use it as something to justify our own addictions or appetites? It's not a good thing. Jesus sets us free, church, and that's a responsible power that we have. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 3:17, now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. And that's an important thing. Secondly, verses 11 to 12, we must be careful with such a brother that's young or immature. He says in verse 11, and because of your knowledge shall the weak brother perish. You don't want to offend him for whom Christ died. But when you thus sin against the brother, you wound their weak conscience. And note this, if that happens, if I offend a brother's conscience, I'm sinning against Jesus. That's a serious issue, church. We need to be careful about that. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, are you guys okay? You're very quiet. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, now the purpose of the commandment is love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, from which some, having strayed, have turned aside to idle talk. They went out of the church on a Sunday morning and they said, I don't need to do that. I don't need to be sensitive about a weaker brother's feelings or thoughts. Yeah, we do. And verse 13 sums it all up. This is Paul's massive declaration of maturity. It's a strong one. We must be focused, church, on the prize. How God's love influences others through us is that you and I need to be focused on the prize. Church family, listen. We get all excited about things, and that's fine. But we need to remember the ultimate goal is that we want to take as many men and women, boys and girls with us to heaven. And how important is that to you? Paul says, therefore, if food makes my brother to stumble, I never again will eat meat lest I make my brother to stumble. Isn't that a tremendous statement? You see, is he joking? He's not joking. So watch. I'll end with these two stories for real. These are for real. I need you to listen. You can't wake up halfway through this story and catch it and then put it on the web because it'd be all bad. Are you ready?
Ready.
We've had a chance to live these things out in real life. Let me tell you how. Number one, years ago when Lisa and I first got married, we lived in Costa Mesa, and there was this little hole-in-the-wall Italian restaurant. Amazing food. And I asked the guy, I said, listen, your sauce is amazing. Is there any way you can tell me your sauce? And he said, yeah. He says, I go over here to Safeway, and I buy the cheapest sauce money can buy. I go, this is not cheap sauce. And he goes, listen, what I do for the lasagna or the spaghetti, if it's lasagna, I pour a glass of wine into the sauce. If it's spaghetti, I pour a bottle of beer in the sauce. Now, do you guys all know that alcohol, the moment it heats up, it's gone? So you can't get drunk eating a lasagna from this guy's restaurant. Did you hear? Are you awake? Did you hear that?
Yes.
Pastor Jack said to go buy drunk lasagna. I didn't say that. So what did we do? We went to Safeway and we bought a bottle of beer. Why? Because I love spaghetti. And so Lisa started cooking it. She'd pour the bottle of beer in the sauce and then it would cook and evaporate. It tastes so good. And we did that for years. And then we moved to Chino Hills. And eventually the home Bible study started. The home Bible study started, and Lisa and I were at the store. And we're going along. We're going along, and we go reach for the bottle of beer, for the sauce. Like some people use cooking sherry for something. And we go like this. Do you think we should buy this anymore? I don't think we should buy it anymore. But what about the sauce? Oh my gosh, what are we gonna do? Well, the scripture says we shouldn't stumble anybody, but they don't have to know. What if we take out the trash? What if the trash man looks in our trash? What if somebody from the home Bible study opens up the drawer, opens up the thing and puts some trash away and they see the beer bottle in the trash? They're gonna think we're drunks. We can't buy it, we can't do it. We stopped doing that 20 years ago. Why? Somebody might stumble. Oh, you know the pastor over there. We've not done it since. You say, Pastor, I feel so sorry for you. No, listen, it's okay because the love of that brother or sister is more important to us than really good spaghetti sauce. And I'll end with this. We were in Russia. I'll never forget. I can see it in my mind's eye. We're at the metro stop out on the street. We were doing music, huge outreach. Hundreds of people are gathered around. I'm preaching the gospel to these Russians that are passing by, stopping and listening. One guy by the name of Ka accepts the Lord. And he says, you will come home to my house tonight. My brother, my sisters, my father will be there. What you just said today on the street, I want you to say to my family. Okay, number one, how do you say no to that? You cannot say no to that. So I grabbed Lisa and I grabbed about five others from the team and my translator, and we went to his home. It was so cute because he stopped and went to the payphone and called his family. By the time we got there that evening, the house was decked out with food. And the father of the house, and I didn't know this is how it is in Russia, we were the first Westerners they had ever met. There had been no Westerners ever in their home. You would have thought the king was coming. The father opens the door and he has two glasses of something that smelled like gasoline. I mean, it was bad. And he goes, welcome, come in, welcome, all, you know, and all this.
We will toast in the threshold. Before you come in, we will toast.
And I said to my translator, what is this? And she said, it's nothing. You have to do this. I said, what is it? She goes, it's cognac and vodka. And I said, I can't do this. I'm sorry. You have to tell him I can't do it. She goes, listen, if you don't do this, you will offend him beyond imagination. This is a custom. You must do this. This is from his land, where he comes from in the southern part of Russia. You got to do this. And I go, I can't do that. There's no way I can do this. The guy's like this. Now, I'm there because his son just got saved 6 hours earlier. I'm supposed to share the gospel. And I'm thinking, and I told Larissa, I said, she goes, you're supposed to give the gospel. I said, if I drink this, there will be no gospel. And she's so cute. She's so little. She goes, do it. And I remember Mark's gospel. God, you said that if we encounter serpents, if we drink poison, it will not kill us. That's what. So, dear God, forgive me in Jesus' name. Amen. Watch this. Now everyone, okay, and your wife and your friends and then everybody, and everyone's like this. Okay, it's horrible. Come in. Okay, now that you're in the house, stand around the table. Pour. 15 times. 15 times. Over 3 hours. Not one person got a buzz, including the family, including him. Watch this. The gospel was given. All but one person accepted the Lord at the table. Then the son, who had come to the Lord earlier that day, grabbed his brother and said, what's wrong with you? Accept the Lord and accept him now. And I told him that's not how it works. It doesn't work that way. But let me tell you something. In my thinking, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? And God was there biblically in power. That is a far cry from taking a drink and getting buzzed in town and stumbling people. Or are you hearing me on this? Yeah. There is maturity and wisdom. And you never know where you're at in this world, where you might be, by your actions, leading someone to Christ or leading them further away from Christ. Father, we thank you for your truth and for your word and the practicality of it. And Father God, we thank you that in all this world, if we want to see any gods today, in plural, we got to go to a museum. They're standing there with no arms, naked, and their head got knocked off because they're not real. And that's a great reminder of us today to focus on what is real. Getting intoxicated is not real. Getting addicted to something of this life is not real. Lord, let us live. Cause us to choose to live a life that glorifies you in every way. For Jesus came, died on the cross, and rose again from the grave that we might have eternal life. That's real. And that's your loving heart. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, with his message called The Power of Your Influence. Thanks for being with us today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called 1 Corinthians, a series on the Corinthian church and the Apostle Paul's bold call for purity. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Are you searching for answers these days in a world where truth is hard to find? Well, my friend, as you heard in our broadcast, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And if you'd like to learn more about what that means to you personally, just go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and then click on that tab there that's labeled Know God. And there you'll be guided through what committing to Jesus Christ really means and the freedom that you'll find in knowing God. That's the Know God tab at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. We have a newly featured resource for you, and it's written by one of the most influential spiritual leaders of our day, the late Charles Stanley. In his powerful book called The Gift of Forgiveness, Stanley shares the key to personal peace, and he tells us that there is no sin that is so evil that it blocks God's forgiveness. The Gift of Forgiveness,
It reflects the heart of Stanley's ministry and addresses such questions and thoughts as to how to practice forgiveness in all your relationships and how to make forgiveness an ongoing experience in your life.
We so much misunderstand the ministry of forgiveness. Please get a copy of this book for yourself. It will change your life, and you might be surprised to find out that forgiveness actually winds up setting you free.
The Gift of Forgiveness by Charles Stanley. It's our gift to you when you make a donation of any amount to the Ministry of Real Life. All you got to do is go to jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com, and order your copy today. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com, that's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.